He forced his way down, past the wreckage of the crushed seat Mip had died in, and past the twisted panels of light material which had made up the bulkhead. He could see light, vaguely green-grey, forming a rectangle beneath him. Air, trapped in his suit, bubbled round him along his legs, upward to his feet. He was slowed for a moment, buoyed up by the air in his boots, and for a second he thought he wasn't going to make it, that he was going to hang there upside down and drown. Then the air bubbled out through the holes in his boots, punched there by Lam's laser, and Horza sank. He struggled down through the water to the rectangle of light, then swam through the open rear doors and into the shimmering green depths of the water under the shuttle. He kicked and went up, breaking out into the waves with a gasp, sucking warm, fresh air into his lungs. He felt his eyes adjust to the slanted but still bright sunlight of late afternoon. He grabbed hold of the shuttle's dented, punctured nose, sticking above the water by about 2 meters, and looked around, trying to see the island, but without success. Still just treading water and letting his battered body and brain recover, Horza watched the up-tilted nose of the craft sink lower in the water and tip slowly forward, so that the shuttle gradually floated almost level in the waves, its top surface just awash. The changer, his arm muscles straining and hurting, eventually hauled himself onto the top of the shuttle and lay there like a beached fish. He started to shut off the pain signals, like a weary servant picking up the litter of breakables after an employer's destructive rage. It was only lying there, with small waves washing over the top surface of the shuttle's fuselage, that he realized that all the water he had been coughing up and swallowing was fresh. It hadn't occurred to him that the Circle Sea would be anything other than salt, like most planetary oceans. But in fact, there was not even the slightest tang of it, and he congratulated himself that at least he would not die of thirst. He stood up carefully in the centre of the shuttle roof, waves breaking round his feet. He looked around and could see the island, just. It looked very small and far away in the early evening light, and while there was a faint warm breeze blowing more or less toward the island, he had no idea which way any currents might be taking him. He sat down, then lay back, letting the waters of the Circle Sea wash over the flat surface beneath him and break in small lines of surf against his much damaged suit. After a while, he just fell asleep, not really meaning to, but not stopping himself when he realized that he was, telling himself to sleep for only an hour or so. He woke up to see the sun, though still high in the sky, looking dark red as it shone through the layers of dust above the distant edge wall. He got to his feet again. The shuttle didn't seem to have sunk any lower in the water. The island was still far away, but it looked a little nearer than it had earlier. The currents, or the winds, such as they were, seemed to be carrying him in roughly the right direction. He sat down again. The air was still warm. He thought of taking the suit off, but decided against it. It was uncomfortable, but perhaps he would get too cold without it. He lay back again. He wondered where Yalsin was now. Had she survived Lam's bomb and the wreck? He hoped so. He thought she probably had. He couldn't imagine her dead or dying. It was little enough to go on, and he refused to believe he was superstitious, but not being able to imagine her dead was somehow comforting. She'd survive. Take more than a tactical nuke and a billion-ton ship impacting a berg the size of a small continent to polish that girl off. He found himself smiling, remembering her. He would have spent more time thinking about Yalsin, but there was something else he had to think about as well. Tonight, he would change. It was all he could do. Probably by now it was irrelevant. Craiglin was either dead or, if surviving, unlikely ever to meet Horza again. But the changer had prepared for the transformation. His body was waiting for it, and he could think of nothing better to do. The situation, he told himself, was far from hopeless. He wasn't badly injured. He seemed to be heading for the island where the shuttle might still be, and if he could make it in time, there was always Evenauth and that damage game. Anyway, the culture might be looking for him by now, so it wouldn't do to keep the same identity for too long. What the hell, he thought. He would change. He would go to sleep as the Horza the others knew him as, and he would wake up as a copy of the captain of the Clear Air Turbulence. He prepared his bruised and aching body for the alteration as best he could. Relaxing muscles and readying glands and groups of cells, sending deliberate signals from brain to body and face through nerves that only changers possessed. He watched the sun, dimming through red stages somewhere low over the ocean. Now he would sleep. Sleep and become Craiglin. take on yet another identity, another shape to add to the many he had assumed already during his life.